You're listening to the StoryCorps podcast. StoryCorps is a nonprofit supported by donations from listeners like you. Help keep us going. Donate now at StoryCorps.org.
I'm Richard Craig, and I'm a dance host on cruise ships.
And I'm Michael Garofalo, your host for this Labor Day episode of the StoryCorps podcast. This holiday weekend, we've got stories about making a living. Once more, here's Richard Craig.
The dance hosts are there for all of the ladies who are traveling independently. Some of them danced when they were young, and they got married, and perhaps their husband didn't like to dance. And if the husband has died, they come on board and they say, "Oh my God, I want to dance again," you know. And they love doing it. We dance about 6 to 8 hours a day. The rumba, the waltz, the foxtrot, cha-cha, and mambo. Those are sort of the basics. And I've learned to ask people to dance in various and sundry languages. For example, in Japanese is odori mashuka, and Korean is chupta. And then, of course, voulez-vous danser avec moi, and so on. That's an easy one, you know. So many people say, "I can't dance," and I don't believe that in anybody. If you just sway back and forth, you're dancing. There was a lady on the Queen Elizabeth II from the Bronx, and she was in a wheelchair. The first time I saw her, I walked over and I said, "How about a little dance?" She said, "I thought you'd never ask." So I grabbed her around the back very tightly, lifted her out of the chair, and just held her against me, and we just swayed back and forth. Well, she was ecstatic. So, you know, to make someone happy like that, boy, that gets you. And it's wonderful to do. They're enjoying life, that's all. That's why we're there.
That's Richard Craig, who for more than 15 years has been dancing for his dinner. Next, two men who set out to clean up New York City. Angelo Bruno spent more than 30 years as a sanitation worker in New York. He and his partner, Eddie Nieves, cleared over 14 tons of garbage from the city streets each day. Angelo retired recently, and the pair sat down at StoryCorps to remember their days on the route. Eddie starts us off.
Everybody would just come out just to talk to you.
People would say, "Oh, good morning, Angelo. Good morning, Eddie. You want a cup of coffee? You want lunch?"
And the nuns kissing us, too. We got nuns on the route. You know, I never had that before.
The younger guys would ask me, "How did you get that?" It's just a little good morning. Have a nice weekend. "Hey, you look great today." I could do 14 tons of garbage. I can't lift a baby carriage off of stuff and carry it down or hold someone's baby when they went to get their car.
The garbage ain't going nowhere. You know, the garbage will be there a half hour from now, an hour. So when you get it, you get it.
He made a statement one day that he does all the work and I do all the talking.
It came out wrong.
Look how he's getting at us. It just came out wrong.
I deserve it.
When I first came on the job, there was one old timer. I remember Gordy Flo, his name was. One day he stopped the truck. He tells me, "Angelo, you look down this block first. See, all the sidewalks are all crowded up with garbage." So I didn't think nothing of it. My father always told me to respect my oldest. I get to the end of the block, and he stops me again. "Get out of the truck. Look back. Nice and clean, right? People go walk on a sidewalk. Guys can make deliveries. Be proud of yourself."
The day that people learned that you were going to retire, we went maybe a block or two blocks, and six people came up to him saying, "You're crazy. What am I going to do when you leave?"
I'm a little bit of a marshmallow anyway, but I never thought my last day would be so emotional for me.
He's crying, they're crying, I'm crying, watching them cry. And I've been very lucky because it's the best part I ever had. We used to try to take the same vacation and try to have the same day off. And I miss my partner.
I feel the same way, Eddie. I'll be honest with you. I miss it terribly. I'm like that little kid looking out the window now when I hit a truck. I think I could have done another 31 years.
That's retired New York City sanitation worker Angelo Bruno with his partner Eddie Nieves in New York City. Andy Linares also works in New York. He runs his family business, Bug Off Pest Control. Andy's been at it for over 20 years, and he came to StoryCorps to talk about his area of expertise, killing bugs.
We need to identify the insect. That's the first thing you have to do. You have to identify the pest. Believe it or not, this is a very scientific type of work. One of the big issues of the day is bed bugs. I had a gentleman came in yesterday, thought he had bed bugs. He shows me the sample, I look at it, and it's a ladybug. It's just an Asian beetle, big deal. And the guy almost cried. He said, oh, thank God, I thought I had bed bugs. I do this every day. I don't respect an insect, but if you look deep enough, there's always something fascinating about even the most unpleasant creatures. I mean, roaches, let's face it, roaches are spectacular. They've been around for billions of years. There's something to be said about an insect like that. In this field, you don't expect a person with an advanced degree who speaks three languages, who is a classically trained musician, because it doesn't make sense. What the hell are you doing killing bugs? That's the question. How did you get involved in this? My uncle had a pest control company. When I hit the brick wall and couldn't find employment, my uncle just happened to be ready to retire. Because it wasn't what I had trained for, it wasn't what I expected, I went in with a great deal of resentment. And for a time, I was turning off customers because I would answer the phone that way, you know, just bug off. So I had to follow that up, bug off. Pest control center, can I help you? You know, so I wouldn't lose that much clientele. Then I changed the mindset and I said, wait, if I make somebody feel better and he's more, you know, at ease, that's golden.
Our final story comes from Austin, Texas. Danny Ray Terry brought his friend Rick Kincaid to a mobile booth there. And they talked about the 11 years Rick spent working at a job where most of us wouldn't even last 11 minutes. Rick Kincaid was a bounty hunter.
How many folks do you figure that you picked up?
There's probably 300 or 400 people that I've chased down and locked up. Most of what bounty hunting's about is just a matter of finding them. They don't want to go, but once they get caught, they're usually pretty easy to get along with. We built up a good reputation as some real hard-nosed bounty hunters. Some fellas would find out we were chasing them, they'd just go put themselves in jail. Probably one of the more funnier bounty hunts that I ever did. It wasn't a very high-paying job. It became a matter of principle to catch this young feller. He really wasn't in all that much trouble, and I would think I was only getting about $300 to pick him up, but every time we'd go to his house, he'd take off out that back door and hit them woods, and we just couldn't catch him. After 3 or 4 times of going out to this young man's house to pick him up, and he always ran on us, we decided one night we were going to get him. So we went to Walmart and bought some cup hooks and went over by my uncle's house and picked up an old net. And we strapped that thing around the front porch of his house and beat on the back door, and he took off out the front and got tangled up in that net. And we got him in jail about 3 o'clock in the morning, and you know we had
one of the easiest catches you've had, huh?
Probably so, yes, sir.
What about one of the toughest cases you had? What would you have to say that was?
I was on a $100,000 jump bond, and when we started chasing the old boy, it was aggravated kidnapping. However, once we got the job and signed the contract to find him, we come to find out that he was a big-time methamphetamine drug dealer. So we figured out that then that we were up against a little bit more than what we had originally bargained for. And actually, the night that we got him, the sheriff's department was supposed to hit the house about the same time I did. I went in first, and unknowns to me, they were about 10 minutes behind me. We didn't know that that was a drug lab, and I walked right in the middle of it, and they took me down and began to beat me pretty good. They broke my jaw and knocked out a couple of my teeth with some old pliers, and then they began to pull the teeth out as I wouldn't answer questions. Of course, I really couldn't answer the questions. I was in too much pain. So I was sure proud to see when the sheriff's department finally did break in there and get me out of that. And that was the night I retired from bounty hunting. I walked down the road to where my wife was sitting in a van and told her that that was about as close to death as I wanted to get.
Low down, leaving some. Done did everything that needs done. Woe is me, why can't I see? I'd best be leaving well enough alone.
That's retired bounty hunter Rick Kincaid with his friend Danny Ray Terry in Austin, Texas. And honky-tonk heroes like me. Next Tuesday is your last chance to catch our animated series on the air. Tune in to POV, Public Television's documentary showcase on September 7th for a double feature. That's right, two more animated shorts. The Icing on the Cake tells the story of the Alvarez family and their struggle to make it in the U.S. after emigrating from Mexico. And in The Human Voice, we'll hear from the one and only Studs Terkel, oral historian extraordinaire and mentor to us here at StoryCorps. If you missed the broadcast, you can see all of our animated films on our website. Just go to storycorps.org/animation. You can also listen to hundreds of other stories while you're there and make a reservation for your own interview. For the StoryCorps podcast, I'm Michael Garofalo. Thanks for listening.
Major support for StoryCorps comes from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Additional funding comes from the Atlantic Philanthropies and the John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation. All StoryCorps interviews are housed at the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress, and you can hear StoryCorps on NPR's Morning Edition and on Latino USA with Maria Hinojosa. Learn more about the project, including how to make a reservation for your own interview, at StoryCorps.org.